Hello and welcome to the Frogs of War podcast. I am Marshall Weber. Joining me is my dear friend, Andrew Brown.
Hello.
How are you?
Again. Hello. I'm good.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm a little frustrated over some apparent technical difficulties, but those are probably in my head more than anything, so.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a hum, but I think we'll chug through it. I don't even know what it is. It's not the AC. It might be a... Could be a plane? I have no idea.
Could be a plane.
Blame it on the planes. Well, Andrew, they call you the Jerry Lundegaard of Austin, which is a Fargo reference.
I didn't know they called me that, but...
Well, I call you that. That's how you know.
It's always nice to be referred to.
But so. You did sell cars. That's true. We'll start, obviously there's a big weekend, the first weekend coming up, but we're going to... Gonna do things a little different today. We're gonna start off with a little baseball. Last night, in the Sunday night, the primetime game, our boy threw a no hitter.
Our boy, and you know, so as I'm sure many Frog fans, this is probably the case for many of us. I actually didn't even know that he was pitching last night, and I definitely didn't know that the Cubs were playing on TV.
Cubs are good, apparently.
You know, as
I just started watching the Rangers again, because they're pretty good.
I know. That's weird to say that Rangers fans are fair weather fans.
Well, it's not so much that. I think just baseball in general is just from.
Yeah, that's
from
true.
About
it really doesn't get interesting
from about
until September.
From about Memorial Day till about now, it's kind of stagnant. Did you watch the performance?
I did. I watched, I probably picked up in the sixth inning and watched to the end. And, you know, he looked pretty unhittable last night. I mean, obviously, he didn't give up a hit. But, yeah. Like, if he can bring, you know, that kind of stuff every time out, he's a bona fide ace.
Well, he's the first person, I think, maybe in the pros, definitely in the National League, to win 15 games this year.
He
threw a no-hitter, so...
He's the first to reach 17.
Yeah.
Last night was the 17th, and
yeah,
Bumgarner has 16,
ago,
but...
First, yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty amazing, man, and you know...
Cy Young Frog?
There's a few pro
Stock
frogs that
right
are...
There.
Yeah, no kidding. There's a few pro frogs that are starting to really kind of come into their own as I mean, stars, legitimate
yeah.
stars. I mean, Matt Carpenter's been to, what, back-to-back All-Star games at this point?
He didn't make it this year, but before that, he was back-to-back. Which had he been? He just was in a slump, and now he's back to that All-Star form. So, God, I wish Carpenter didn't play for the Cardinals. But
yeah,
you know, I've actually that never sucks. Seen a place get destroyed, and this is, you know, we've seen as many TCU football games as probably, well, maybe not anybody listening to this podcast. I'm sure there's older people listening to this, but I mean, we saw some stuff get destroyed in our day. I've never seen a bar, which was Art Bar, get as destroyed as I did when the Rangers blew that game.
Yeah,
it was almost unsafe.
Well,
it was a little bit unsafe.
It got beat up pretty good.
A lot
good.
Of glass, a lot of broken.
Beat
glass.
Up pretty good when we beat Boise in Boise.
But yeah, that was like a happy like people.
It was.
Just
I mean, it was joyous. It was joyous destruction. But
kind of just spraying their beer and. But this was angry. Like
yeah.
I'm gonna throw glass.
Our place of residence, I won't say where, but it was a house of fraternal nature on TCU's campus, and it saw some bumps and bruises too. Water fountain got ripped off the wall, among some other things. But you know, that's
such is life.
Such is life, man.
But yeah, no, I always catch up on Mr. Robot, and then yeah, I mean, anytime you can just cap off a night with a frog no hitter. It's not a bad way to end it.
Good way to start the week.
So is that a sign for the Minnesota game?
I mean, you have to think so, right?
Right. You know, Arietta lives in Austin, right?
Really? No, I
just
didn't.
Bring
know
him
that.
On. This is your first of many invitations, Jake.
Yeah, if you're listening,
first of many.
You're probably not, but if you are, please come on our podcast.
If you like converted. What do you say this is? Converted just storage room?
Storage room, yeah.
If you like converted
we'll call
storage,
it the storage
room in Northwest
in
Hills, just please come on our pod. So, yeah, I mean, like we said, this could be a good time for the Minnesota speak. We're going to bring Jamie on in a couple minutes here. Oh, what do you know? Speak of the devil. That's perfect timing. Let's pull him up here. Jamie, that's perfect timing. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, what's going on, man?
Hey, you got me and you got Andrew.
What's up, Jamie?
What's going on, Andrew? How are you?
I'm good, dude. Just living in the parents' attic.
Living the dream, huh?
We actually just got done talking about old Jake the Snake. And we've kind of...
That was insane last night.
Right? Did you watch... well, I'll ask you, too. I asked Andrew this as well. Did you watch the whole thing, or did you just kind of come in at the end of it?
I jumped in the sixth inning. I think I had just gotten home from doing church stuff, and I flipped on the game because it was the only game on. And didn't really even realize that he had a no-hitter until after Castro made that snag in the seventh. And from that point on, I was like, all right, I got to... shut out my family completely and focus on this. And
yeah,
so that's what I did.
Priorities, yeah.
Yeah. Well, is there anything you want to lead off with Minnesota? We've kind of pivoted to that. Is there anything you want to kind of just come out of the gate and say?
Yeah, I mean, we can start by talking about kind of this expectation game, I think, that Minnesota's playing a little bit with their defensive coordinator, all the things that he's been saying. And all the news from up there about how much improved Leitner is.
Yeah.
Is that how you say his name?
Leitner? I think so. I was looking at, you know, I mean, I've been, look, I know what his name is, and I, but, you know, these things only really matter and kind of, yeah, I mean, I only feel, like, pressure to say his name when, like, I'm on this thing. So I think it's Leitner. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Just looking at his stats last year, I mean, how much more improved is he? You know, I mean, he was just barely under 52% completion, and even so much that he may or may not be better. Certainly he's probably just a tad better. I mean, it's, you know, not very hard to get much better than where he was last year.
I mean,
but
it's hard to get worse, you know. Yeah. Not saying he was, you know, necessarily bad, but just
how much?
Yeah.
How much do you think his kind of, you know, how is his quarterbacking gonna, you know, change Minnesota's game plan? I mean, because it just seems like they're gonna still run the ball. Still 65-70% of the time. I mean, what are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably the case. You know, it sucks for a team when they lose really their only two offensive weapons, right? Like in David Cobb and Max Williams.
Right.
And, I mean, he's got KJ May, who's a decent receiver. He's really kind of a speed guy, but
yeah,
can't really catch the ball that well, I don't think.
Yeah, and they're kind of dependent on these freshman receivers, which also makes it a little more difficult.
Yeah, definitely. And so when you look at the people around him, it might not matter if he's improved his mechanics or his throwing or whatever, because he still might not have anyone to get the ball to. I mean, if I was Minnesota, though, I would just be hammering just over and over again passes to tight ends over the middle.
Right.
Really, really try and put pressure on those inexperienced linebackers for us, but...
Yeah, that's... me and Marshall were talking about that a bit before the podcast, and at least for me personally, it's really the linebackers for us are the part that I'm the most, maybe not skeptical, but the most kind of anxious to see, you know, how things are going to turn out. So I'm sure Minnesota's thinking the same thing.
Yeah, so. Definitely. And really, you know, after reading all of those snarky comments from that Minnesota fan on your article today, Marshall, it got me thinking about the impact of TCU's offense on Minnesota's offense, and I think you nailed it when you said that the fact that TCU has the ability to get off the field so quickly and force a tired offense back onto the field.
Yeah, I mean...
If he's worn out and still has no one to throw the ball to, he's going to start making really bad decisions.
Yeah, well, my thing was, like, Minnesota eats up the clock a lot. They run the ball. They're still probably going to, you know, in the comments that the Kill made, I think it was Kill that made it, that they're still going to be very... you know, run heavy. I mean, he's like, that's our identity. That's what we're sticking with. And if you're running the ball, you're eating up that much clock. And then TCU, depending on what Minnesota's defense does and how well, you know, maybe, you know, they've kind of got over obsessive with and watched just like hours of TCU film over the summer and just can kind of maybe just pick apart our first couple of drives. But I mean, as quick as we can score and as kind of long as they take to do it, you know, if you're running the ball and you're eating up all that clock, I mean, you're going to get tired and, you know, and then it goes back to the other side of TCU, and they score in 2 minutes. You know, it makes it a lot harder, and that's what kind of the point I was trying to make. It's just like, yeah, well, if you have an offense that scores as quickly, I mean, you know, they could score on every third drive, and they still can get just, you know, blown out because of how slowly they do it. So, what are you thinking about Minnesota's defense? Is there anything that, I mean, we kind of talked about it for a second there. But I mean, is there anything from that side of the ball that you're hearing from them that kind of makes you a little anxious to see?
Their defensive coordinator has really been hyping up their secondary a lot in the past week or so, which I don't know if it's just all talk. If, you know, I think it was you, I can't remember now, who made the point about everyone is going to be trying to get into TCU's head.
Right.
So I don't know if it's just talk to kind of get TCU thinking or second guessing about, you know, really trying to challenge the secondary or whatever it is. I know that they've got those two senior cornerbacks that are pretty decent and led that unit to, you know, being like the 12th best passing defense in the country last year or something like that.
Yeah.
But, when I exchanged questions with the Daily Gopher for a Q&A earlier this week, and one of the questions that he asked was, how much better is this offense going to be? And I think when you look back at where this offense was against Minnesota last year, it was really their first true test running this offense.
Right.
Against they played Samford before, but what does that really tell you?
Exactly.
So I think that this offense is completely different than what it was at the beginning of 2014. And so I don't know that even with an improved secondary and with experienced guys back there, that it's really going to do much of a difference for Minnesota. I mean, I'm not doubting their talent by any stretch of the imagination, but it's that Iron Monkey or whatever his name is point from all those comments earlier today saying, we're just more talented. And right. At the end of the day, if you're more talented at the college level, you're going to win most of the time. And
yeah,
it might get ugly.
So. It's not so much like a talent of like Miami has talent, but they don't. It's just like these guys are well coached. I mean, these guys, Boykin and Liston B, I mean, these guys have been kind of in the, you know, playing together for 4 years now. They're both seniors. I mean, Doxson's a senior too. It's just, you know, they kind of, and you know, this kind of goes by like kind of a couple things you're saying. It's like, yeah, more people are going to go after TCU. Like the number two team comes to Minneapolis, like they're going to be gunning for you, obviously. But, you know, as big of a target as TCU does have on their back, they're still like a blue collar team, and you know, they're a team with a chip on their shoulder that plays anger. You know, they feel, you know, upset that they got left out of that playoff, and they're like, oh, you know, that, you know, it's kind of like people trying to think they have like an Ohio State target, which is, I don't think it's true. I think it's more, there definitely is the target, but I definitely think they have just as much of a chip as they do a target. And as long as they can kind of stay focused, I think, you know, this isn't like the LSU game a couple years ago. I mean, you know, I liked Brandon Carter. I really liked Ladarius Brown, and I liked Paha. But I mean, you know, you get those guys off the team, it's just like, it's kind of a whole, it takes a whole different form. And you kind of get, you know, that kind of, you know, junk off the team, and you, the ability to stay focused doesn't stay as hard.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's, you know, to your point about chip on the shoulder, that's definitely something that Gary Patterson is incredibly good at, right? Like, the guy celebrated the Rose Bowl for a day.
Right.
And then was back to watching film because, in his own words, we haven't won a national championship yet.
Right, exactly.
At that point. And so, when you've got a team like TCU who has so much left to prove, even after a season like 2014 or after the 2010 Rose Bowl season, the target is on the back, certainly, but it's much more, I think, of a moving target.
And
right. Like you said, it's totally different than Ohio State. And when you get guys like Brandon Carter and Paul Hall off the team, it does make it easier to focus. Now, you also bring in guys like Kenny Hill. And what's that going to do for your
squad?
Who
seems pretty well behaved thus far. No, sure. He hasn't passed on Frog Fountain yet, so.
Yeah, maybe being 45 minutes away from mom and dad is really going to help him out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, look, if you. I agree with you to some degree, but. Also, Gary wouldn't take a chance on a guy like that, especially right on the heels of, you know, Devontae Fields and all that, if he really didn't do his homework and didn't
think
the guy was...
He also got suspended. He passed out, like, in Northgate, right? Didn't he? He was, like, just drunk in a fountain. There's, like, 50,000 people there.
And we've all done that.
Yeah. I mean, maybe not in Northgate, but to some degree, yeah. I'm trying to think what else. What gives you at least some confidence about going into Thursday that you're, like... All right, maybe I'm overthinking this. Maybe I'm overthinking Minnesota a little too much. What kind is like, all right, what's kind of like your little, I don't know, your anxiety relief about TCU going into Thursday?
Well, I just, you know, in anticipation for the season, I always go back and watch the games from the year before. And just in watching the Minnesota game last year, how completely completely dominant that performance was. I mean, 30-7 doesn't even really begin to describe how dominant TCU was in that game, right?
Yeah, I mean, not at all.
The defense forced 5 turnovers with ease. The offense led up, really, for the majority of the second half. I look at that and I say, okay, well, yes, that Minnesota team is a year older and more experienced. They played really well in the Big Ten last year. They gave Nebraska and Ohio State all they could handle. But they lost their two most important pieces on offense, and they didn't really replace them with anyone.
Right.
And so it doesn't matter how good that secondary is or how much Mitch Leidner has improved. If they can't move the ball, right. if their running game can't move the ball, then they're not going to eat up big chunks of time. And if their defense can't stop you, then what is there really to worry about at all?
Yeah, it's also a secondary that I think doesn't see a lot of and I'm not trying to say, like, you know, the way TCU does offense is better, and it's not like trying to snobby thing, but, you know, clearly Big Ten offenses aren't run like they are in the Big 12. There's not.
Definitely not.
So, I mean, they were, I think, the 8th most efficient, maybe the 7th most efficient in the Big Ten, but, I mean, yeah, they're the 4th total pass defense, but a lot of that is because there just isn't a lot of passing.
Yeah, Wisconsin's throwing the ball 4 times a game against them.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. I mean, I don't, you know, they had their statistically their worst game against TCU, and, you know, a lot of that, I think, is a lot of the pace and the speed and kind of what I was talking about. And, yeah, I just, you know, that's what kind of gives me the confidence. There's kind of one more thing I wanted to say. But, well, while I think about this, let's pivot a little bit. Are you worried about the special teams at all? You did a really good article about Cameron Eccles-Looper. Actually, I remember what I was going to say, but it kind of goes along with looking up articles. So I encourage everybody to look up that really good article by you. Maybe we'll retweet it.
Thanks,
on
man.
Frogs of War tomorrow. But I forgot who did it. It wasn't Ian Boyd. It was somebody, God, Rosenthal. It was one of the SB Nation guys. They did a lot of really, really great charts and about how, kind of broke down how, like, each conference, like, you know, whether, you know, they're pass heavy, they're run heavy, and kind of.
Are you talking about Bill Connolly?
Was it Connolly who did that? I mean,
it might have been.
I mean, I figure it seems like something he would do, but I, for some reason, I didn't think it was him. But yeah, if you look at the Big Ten one, they all kind of skew, especially Minnesota. I mean, like I said, they run the ball 70% of the time. They all skew to a run. So Minnesota, yeah, they may have like all Big Ten corners, but again, it's all kind of relative. But I actually am a little worried about the special teams. I am excited for Kevontae Turpin, but, you know, maybe the game gets a little closer than you think. It kind of becomes this kind of game, which actually kind of reminds me, well, maybe not so much of this game, but, you know, the last great runner, I think, to really just kind of run all over TCU that I can really think of was Le'Veon Bell. Maybe there's one in 2013 I'm missing, but that's kind of the one that was real run dominant. I don't think their quarterback that game even hit 100 yards. Le'Veon got like 145, and TCU still held them to 17 points. And, you know, Michigan State, as we know, has a really great defense. But they still held that team to 17 points. And don't tell me that TCU's not going to, you know, score less than 17 points in this game. So that's something that gives me confidence. But that Michigan State game was a game that kind of fell apart because of a muffed kick. Say it does stay close. Do you see the special teams having any, like, big effect on it?
I mean, it's always possible when games, you know, hashtag college kickers, like, anything can happen when you've got a 18-year-old kid out there and you're depending on his right or left foot to seal a win for you from, like, 45 yards away.
Right.
I mean, losing Cameron Eccles-Looper is a big deal. I mean, it sucks just because you never really notice an elite punt returner like that until he's gone.
Yeah.
I think, you know, at the NFL level, the Dallas Cowboys are going to realize that in a hurry with Dwayne Harris playing for the Giants now.
Yeah.
And I think you might see a little bit of that lag happen at TCU also. I mean, Kevontae Turpin, from all accounts, has been just stellar in the little amount of time that he's been on campus, but he hasn't been in a game situation yet. You know, he's an 18-year-old true freshman. Who knows how he's going to react when he's actually in that game situation with the ball flying and 11 guys running down the field that want to rip his head off. So, yeah, I mean, it could come down to some sort of special teams situation to kind of push TCU over the edge and give them that extra bump needed to actually win this game. But, you know, that's only a third of what special teams is, or a quarter, really, of what special teams is. And half of our special teams, the Jaden Overcrome and Ethan Perry parts, are incredible.
Right.
And, you know, you've got solid kickoff returners who are totally capable in that avenue. So really, if we're talking about special teams as a whole, I'm pretty confident still. But yeah, there's the big question marks around Turpin or whoever it is that's going to end up returning punts.
Who do you think? And Jamie, I'll let you. I'm trying to think who should go first here. But well, I'll ask both of you, and whoever wants to take it first can. Who do you think? Both sides of the ball. Give me one player. Obviously, maybe one side's going to have the same answer. But offense and defense, who do you think are kind of your pregame MVPs for both sides of the ball? Brownie, you want to take this one first?
Yeah, sure. I'll jump in here. Defense, I think Sammy Douglas is going to show us something. I think that he's going to come out and immediately we're going to notice the difference between, you know, as amazing as Dawson was and as absolutely solid as Mallett was, I think anybody in the program would be quick to tell you that Douglas is a better athlete than both of them.
Right.
And considering that, you know, I don't know what the scheme is going to be, but my guess is just knowing that, you know, Freeze is young and he's kind of getting his feet wet, and knowing that Minnesota is going to look to run the ball and test the linebackers, my guess is Patterson has a scheme in place to really put Douglas in a lot of places where he thinks, you know, the ball is going. So I think Douglas is going to see a lot of action. Offensively, I mean, you know, Boykin's the obvious, you know, you want to say Boykin. I think Aaron Green's going to pick up where he left off. I think he's going to have a good day running the ball, but I think that Listonby and Boykin are going to connect for a couple deep kill shots. I think Listonby's looking at 2 touchdowns.
Jamie, what about you?
Yeah, I think, Sammy Douglas, I really like that pick, Andrew, but I'm going to go with James McFarland.
Nice.
So yeah. I want to see what this defensive line can do against kind of that big, built-to-run-the-ball offensive line that Minnesota has, that's got another year of experience under their belts. And, you know, McFarland kind of started to break out near the end of last season, had an incredibly good Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. So I kind of want to see if he picks up where he left off last year, if he can kind of be that new anchor defensive end for the Frogs. And then on offense, I want to say Ty Slanina, and that's just because with Gray probably not playing in this game, with Doxson banged up, and the fact that Minnesota does have 2 really good cornerbacks in their secondary that are going to be lined up against Doxson and Listonby, I want to see what Slanina can do from the slot, and if he can be a consistent presence in this game, I think that the Frogs really kind of run away with things.
Yeah, no, I like both of those answers. Just kind of like pivot off the offense, gonna kind of do the opposite of what y'all did. But yeah, I mean, I agree. I think the slot receiver is gonna be great. But now, you know, thinking aloud, it's just kind of like, all right, maybe get Emmanuel Porter some looks. You know, with Doxson kind of, yeah, you know, on that hill. I mean, he plays on the opposite side. He plays on it doesn't really matter. I mean, he's kind of an outside receiver anyway, but. With Doxson kind of hurt, I'd like to see him get a lot of looks. The inside guys are going to be key. And then, yeah, I mean, I like that Listonby answer too, because, like I said, yeah, the game kind of does remind Michigan State, but that's mostly probably because it's a Big Ten matchup. But, you know, last year when we played Oklahoma State, which I might add was, it would probably be played in similar weather, about 70, a little bit of a breeze. I think that, were you at that game, Jamie? It was about 70 degrees, right? I think that's the weather we play best in, honestly. Like, we don't play well in the cold. We play fine in the heat, but I think we really get our...
You mean when it's perfect weather outside,
yeah,
we
exactly.
play well?
Yeah, exactly, and that's what the weather's supposed to be.
Conditions,
but, sure. But yeah, I mean, just think about that Oklahoma State game. It's just like, all right, Oklahoma State put together some pretty good drives, got to the red zone. We were watching that game, you know, a couple weeks ago, Andrew. It's just like, you know, they got to the red zone, and we just kept stuffing them in the red zone. They ate up all that clock, and then you turn it, you know... other side of the coin, and it's just like, all right, Boykin hits Doxson with, you know, a big pass, or hits Listonby. It's just like, it's just that kind of game, and I think Minnesota's really going to have to figure out a way to throw the offense. It's kind of just, you know, turn it on its head and find a way to slow it down. So, yeah, those receivers, I'm just interested to see what all they're doing. Obviously, we're all excited for Boykin. Hopefully the running game will do something. Maybe when we're up by a couple touchdowns, you know, it's something that I wanted to see more in the Baylor game, but I would like to see Travoris Johnson. I would like to see Kyle Hicks, Sean Nixon. And then on defense, I'm probably going to say Kindred. I'm excited to see what he does, not only defending the ball, but also kind of taking that kind of like hybrid kind of linebacker position. with you know, Minnesota's run game. I think he's going to be the kind of the key to the game, not only testing the quarterback, but also trying to stuff the run. So I think the game kind of hinges on him. So I'm excited to see that. My breakout player is still Denzel Johnson. But, you know, I think, you know, he had a really good Peach Bowl. Was watching that the other day. Really liked what I saw. Still my breakout player, but I definitely think that Kindred will come away from this game probably as the most polished player in defense. I don't know. Do you have a score prediction for us, Jamie?
Yeah, for the Q&A that I did with the Daily Gopher, I said 38-24 TCU.
Oh,
And that was just with the question marks at linebacker, two new safeties coming in, and a new corner coming in. You don't really, I mean, we want to talk a big game about defense, but there are a lot of question marks there. The more I think about it, the more I think that 24 is an unreachable score for Minnesota in this game. It's probably going to be more around like maybe 14 or 17 in that range.
Do you think they try?
I don't think TCU runs up the score just because Keelan Patterson are good friends.
Yeah. Do you think they? That is true. How are they good friends? I mean, he was at Northern Illinois. Do they just know each other from some sort of like luncheon or like how? Do you know how they're friends?
I don't know all the details of it, but I know that Keel was the best man at Patterson's wedding.
Wow, that's so like
they have a pretty deep relationship.
That's, yeah,
and
that's
been
pretty
buddies
deep, yeah.
For a long time.
Yeah, you don't obviously. The best man's not a scrub. So
yeah,
man, right. That's crazy that I didn't. That's a man. I don't know how I didn't know that. That's really interesting. Man, you learn something new every day. That's
how about
just
that?
That's delightful. That's delightful.
Life is amazing.
What about you?
I don't know if you want to pivot really quickly, but
yeah, we're always
breaking
pivoting.
News for all of those people listening hours after this is recorded. But breaking news: Josh Boyce has been released by the New England Patriots.
Cowboys could use another receiver. I'm just going to put that out there.
Pour one out for Boyce.
God.
That's all right. He'll catch on with somebody.
Yeah, I knew he didn't have... He had kind of a not-so-great game a couple weeks ago in one of the preseason games. So, yeah, I'm sure... Yeah, like you said, I think he'll find a nice little place.
Yeah.
What about you, Andrew? Do you have a score prediction?
I was thinking about that. I kind of think somewhere in the 40-21 range. I'm kind of with Jamie. I don't think they're going to run it up to 24, Minnesota. And I don't think that TCU is going to run it up on Minnesota. I mean, first of all, I'm not even so sure that TCU will be able to run it up because I think it's going to be tight in the first half and then we'll kind of pull away a little bit in the second half. But, yeah, I think it's about a 15-20 point margin.
Yeah, I mean... Jerry Kill, they obviously try to spin it in every way. He was just like, it's people coming up to me in Starbucks and saying, man, we're really, really excited for this game. And we're rooting for you. And, it's like the number two team's playing, man. And it's not like I'm someone who doesn't really like preseason rankings, but, obviously they're hyped for this game. I think in my prediction today, I said like 45-28 or something. And now that I think about it, I don't know if they score that much. I think that maybe they get a little cheeky. I think Kill... just as much as anyone knows that Patterson hates trick plays. I think if it's tight in the first half, they, depending on who gets the ball first, who has the ball closer to the halftime, they may try something kind of cheeky, maybe like a fake field goal or something, maybe to try to TCU's up by like, 21-14 or 21-10, maybe try to keep it in one score or even tie it. But yeah, I mean, I just think they pull away and definitely get up in the 40s. Yeah, you're right. Y'all are both right. Patterson's not going to run it up. This isn't the time to run it up. It's the first game of the season. I don't know. I just want to. This game's not going to be like perfect.
Kind of on that note, though, Weber and Jamie, this goes to you too. Just given the fact that TCU is so hyped, and I Patterson, he doesn't care about this. Obviously, it's about wins and losses for him. But what do you think as far as kind of the fallout from the game and the media blitz that will ensue regardless. What do you think is kind of what does the score have to be to avoid any of the, are they overhyped? Are they overrated talk? I mean, what do you think is kind of expected of TCU performance wise?
Jamie, you want to take it? Yeah, go ahead.
Sure. I think that really, as far as running up the score is concerned, I think as long as they're close to 40, and the defense shows that they're going to be able to fill in those holes at that from guys that they lost last year with relative ease. I think that that will kind of
sort of appease
some of that criticism from happening.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone knows that there are question marks on this defense. And even the people that have ranked TCU really high and picked them, you know, to win the conference and be in the playoffs and stuff have said, you know, that's if these guys, these new guys stepping in can actually perform at the level necessary to make this defense what it typically is. So yeah. I think if those guys step in and, you know, say hold Minnesota to 10 or 13 points and the offense does what it needs to do to get to, you know, 35 or 40, I think that people will come away from that game saying, you know, we expect Minnesota to be a pretty decent team in the Big Ten this year, like top three, top four in the conference. And so that kind of win over a quality opponent, you know, I think it'll keep most of the critics at bay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a real set score. I mean, maybe they have to get to 40. I personally don't care if there's, you know, a kind of a backlash if maybe they... I think people will start to, you know, bring up, oh, they're overrated if it, you know, they come away and it's a 28-10 game or something. But, you know, I kind of like the kind of the doubt. And, you know, I think that drives everybody. I mean, there's always going to be contrarian arguments in journalism. There's always going to be, you know, somebody always picking Texas A&M or, you know, out of the East, or consistently picking Georgia every year to win, even though they find a way to kind of screw up winning the SEC every other year. So I don't think really they have to prove anything to anybody, but, you know, I really just, as far as TCU fans are concerned, as far as, you know, them as a team is concerned, you know, I just, you know, I want Sammy Douglas and Mike Freeze to just be competent. They don't have to be perfect. They won't be perfect. They shouldn't have to feel like they're perfect. But, you know, if they go out there and both have solid games, that's what I'm really happy about. And, you know, assuming if they have solid games, TCU will win. But if it's 35-10 and, you know, those guys go out there and take care of business, you know, it'll kind of definitely put TCU fans at ease. And I think really that's what the spotlight's on. And I think, Brownie, were you talking about the linebackers? You were the one. I think if they come out and they just don't completely just look like they have no idea what they're doing, you know, it's going to give me, you know, a lot of faith going forward, because that part with Gary will only get better. What about you? What about you, Andrew? What do you think the score is going to be? The old prediction.
Yeah, I sort of agree with all of the above. That's kind of, I guess, what I would have been getting at. You know, I do think that they have to score in the 40s, just given, you know, how much hype is made about the offense. I think anything below 40 is going to be considered kind of, you know, unacceptable to a degree in the eyes of the, you know, the media anyway. But yeah, I think, well, I would say the linebackers have to look competent, but I think that the secondary has to really do what the secondary should do against Minnesota and really, really shut down their passing game. I think that'll be kind of, for me anyways, the thing to really say, okay, I think this team is what it can be, and I think this is, or, you know, I think it's where it should be right now. So I think, you know, the defense is probably going to look like a work in progress at times, but I think they're also probably going to show us some pretty good signs. So,
and as long as they come out there and just score on the first couple of drives, I forgot, I kind of lost count once they kind of stopped their streak, but TCU pretty much went on, Peach Bowl included, pretty much, Jamie, do you know, it was pretty much just about every game they scored on the first drive. I mean, there were a couple that they didn't. Do you remember which games off the top? They definitely scored more on their first drive in games than they didn't.
Yeah, I think games that stand out to me as games that didn't score on their first drive, as ridiculous as it is, Kansas.
Right.
West Virginia.
Cold. Both games in the cold.
Yeah, so both games in that cold weather where...
And that's the thing, is like, people sucks. Are like, oh, TCU's, you know, they don't play well on the road. It's just like, that's not really true. Most of our Big 12 wins on the probably have been on the road, now that I think about it, because the majority of them came...
Last year was really the first year we could win at home.
Yeah, because
2 years before
that, we didn't win very many games in 2013, and our, you know, Big 12 wins came on the road in 2012 with West Virginia and Texas. So TCU plays fine on the road. I think it's more just they don't play well in the cold weather. I mean, we, as TCU fans, we know that because we used to have to go to play in Provo or Salt Lake City and all these kind of...
Wyoming.
Colorado. Yeah, Wyoming, all these freezing cold places. It's just like, if you're not used to that, that's just tough. And, you know, again, Kill's like, oh, everybody's hyped for the game. It's just like, well, it's going to be 70 and sunny, man. And, you know, nothing, you know, Fargo will always stick in my mind. So, you know, Minnesota fans are great. I mean, they're probably like the nicest fans I met, certainly last year, if not that have ever come down to TCU. So I really enjoy their, you know, their company. They're good people. Like I said, it's kind of hard to get the kind of the Fargo stereotype out of my brain, but I just can't see a bunch of those guys being terribly intimidating and shaking things up for Boykin, especially given the weather. I don't know, Jamie, before we let you go, is there anything else you want to say? Any superlatives you want to throw out? Anything that you missed? Anything we missed?
No, I think it's all good, man. You guys are doing a great job with this.
All right. Well, we'll catch up with you soon. I'm sure I'll talk to you very soon after we record this.
Yeah, hey, actually, let me give one shout out.
All right, please do.
Promo. I am actually, we're going to have another segment of this podcast. This is news to you guys too, I know. It's going to be called Beyond the Goal Line, and it's going to be more of a college football culture conversation about, you know, how does college football affect culture, and what are some things that we see in this magnifying glass of college football that really is kind of swept under the rug most of the time. You know, stuff like the Baylor issues, the finding players out of their book stipend up in Cincinnati, yeah. That kind of stuff. We're going to talk about, you know, this kind of dark side of college football that doesn't get too much light shed on it. So
college
look
football,
for that coming soon.
The After Dark, definitely. Yeah. Black Mirror. Great. Well, Jamie, I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Late.
Later.
So, yeah. Well, we got Minnesota. You know, it's a Thursday night game. It's, you know, the exposure's on TCU. What is it? 8 o'clock our time, which is 8 o'clock Minnesota time. Are there any other games this weekend you want to see?
Well,
it's kind of the big kickoff. I mean, it's kind of they put it that game there for a reason, so people would watch it.
Notre Dame and Texas, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're in Austin, so that's more obvious to me. Anyways,
to us.
Yeah.
Sure. That's fine to say.
Wisconsin and Bama, just because, you know, it's
yeah.
Wisconsin and Bama, and yeah. You know, I'm excited for that.
I'm excited to see what Bama actually is this year.
I'm excited to see A&M and ASU's this weekend, right?
Yes.
I think the Aggies are going to be pretty damn good.
You know what's crazy? It's funny you say that. We were doing like
I think
the,
they're
we haven't
be
we haven't we haven't
good.
We haven't posted it this year yet. But I almost wanted to select them for the playoff and winning the West because we talk about this all the time. We'll talk about this next week and the week after. We'll probably talk a lot about this next week because we'll probably be recapping the Minnesota game. There's probably not a whole lot we can say about Stephen F. Austin because A, who cares? And B, it, you know, would be a great week to kind of just shift the focus, you know, have kind of a freestyle week. But yeah, we were doing the preseason, kind of the something everybody does, like who are your four playoff teams, and I really want to pick A&M. We talk about this with scheduling, and like I said, we'll talk about it in our kind of a free week next week. Yeah, I mean, they play LSU at home, I think. They play Auburn at home, and they play Bama at home. Is that right?
I want to say that's right.
Let's see. Yeah, I mean, they got South Carolina.
Have you seen
College Station,
have
Auburn
you seen
and College Station, Vanderbilt, Nashville. I mean, that's a win. Okay, so they're at LSU. They don't play LSU at home. But still, I mean, that's their last game of the season. Who knows what LSU is going to be? Their passing game probably shouldn't be that great. Leonard Fournette is obviously, you know, somebody I feel like we talked more about last year because, you know, he's this maybe the greatest freshman running back since Adrian Peterson, and then that person kind of became Samaje Perine, also from Oklahoma. So
Fournette is going to be pretty good, though.
I'm actually, one game I'm actually really excited for, and I'm not excited for A&M. I never, ever want to ever imply that because I'm intrigued by their game the last weekend in September, Arkansas, the Cowboys Stadium. That was probably one of the most interesting games I think that we did. You watch that with one with us last year? Were you in Dallas weekends?
I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember.
But yeah, you're right. They play at Reliant, Arizona State, Saturday, 9:05. And that game is at 6 o'clock.
Have you seen Myles Garrett lately?
Yeah, but he's good.
He's really good.
Yeah, but weren't his sacks against, like, the first couple games against just...
As an 18-year-old.
Yeah. True. All right. I mean, I like Myles Garrett. That's another reason I, you know, I'm not completely sold. I definitely understand, like, the argument against him. But yeah, I mean, that's obviously a clear reason why, or one of the clear reasons why I like maybe A&M going to the playoff. But again, like, it's all going to depend on the first weekend, how I see they play. Arizona State's a great team too. I mean, Arizona State could beat them.
Here's a crazy scenario for you.
That's fine.
Crazy scenario. It's not that crazy, but here's this anyway. A&M wins the SEC. Not out of the realm of possibilities. Baylor and TCU are undefeated, and then, you know, one of them wins, and they both end up getting into... Well, we'll say TCU wins, and then Baylor wins their last game, so they go in to the selection time on a high note. Three Texas teams in the final four.
I don't think TCU and Baylor are both going to go. I think the winner, it's kind of the fact. The Pac-12 would really have to eat itself alive.
Say we're looking at a two-loss Pac-12 winner.
Maybe. I mean, the Pac-12 could... I mean, there's so many good teams. I mean, there's Arizona State, there's Arizona, there's USC, who I think is, again, overhyped. I mean, I don't think that's a hot take argument. I think anyone's justified in saying that. UCLA, one of their corners was suspended today.
Yeah.
Robbery.
Something. I think Arizona's going to be pretty good.
Got his heat on. Yeah, Arizona's really good. I mean, I like Rich Rod.
Scooby Wright's back.
Scooby Wright's probably one of the most exciting... He's definitely one of the most exciting defensive players in the country. And other than Bosa, he's probably the most exciting defensive player in the country. But yeah, I mean, if the Pac-12 beats itself alive, maybe that happens. But I'm fine with two Texas teams being in it. Because if it's Texas, A&M, and TCU...
Yeah, but I want three.
If we got to play Texas A&M in the national championship, I would go insane.
Yeah. What would if we beat them? Now again, we're getting off track here.
We're not way off track. We're fine.
Why not? We're
under the memo. I was just like,
free see space. these are the preseason conversations you can have.
It kind of feels weird. The preseason
hope is still a thing.
No matter who you are,
if we played A&M,
right,
for the title. Say we won. Put it in parentheses. Say we won. Back. What's the first thing you do?
God. Jesus. What section am I in? Am I around TCU fans or am I around an Aggie fan? Because the first thing I would go up to the first Aggie, I'd be like, we run this state. And then yeah. I would just cry.
And I would probably get "We run this state" tattooed on my back.
On your back?
On my entire back.
Let's not go the entire back. Like, was it Billy Walsh and Entourage?
I would black out from joy.
Pablo,
and get
terrible Pablo.
"We run this state" tattooed on my
back. I would just tell that the first thing. I would just, God. Granted, we may be putting too much stock in A&M. I think everybody can laugh at A&M all they want because, frankly, they talk about a target on your back. If people that leave it up to make fun of themselves is definitely, or not make fun of themselves, they don't make fun of themselves, and that's kind of the problem. They kind of make it very easy to make, you know, fun of them. But yeah, I mean, they got Arkansas, which I don't know, here's a stupid question. Do you think it's closer to Dallas than College Station is? I think it's about the same.
Wow.
It's probably a little closer. And it might be a little closer, but I think it's pretty equidistant.
Our geography teachers are rolling over in their graves right now.
They're not dead, they're alive, but my still. Geography teacher, I had to explain what the difference between like the United Kingdom and Great Britain was. I don't think she's losing any sleep, yeah. Or he's losing any sleep. Who did I have if you went to DCU?
I think Arkansas, actually, just because Dallas is kind of northeast. Well, you know what? I am not even going to pretend to know, so...
Man, we're gonna look like clowns when A&M's like 2 hours closer. But I mean, it's deep. I mean, it's deep down there. I mean, it's kind of by Houston. I know. I mean, it's on the way. You know,
it's on the way to Houston. It's on the way to Houston. Start.
I guess it'd be sort of west of Houston. I mean, it's down. I mean, if you go 281, I mean, you drive right by it. I don't go 281 anymore. I go 71 and 10, but. Yeah, I mean, it's you know what's actually even crazier is, like, I feel like it was close to Austin. Because when we played them in that regional a couple years ago, I remember leaving from work and it seeming just like an hour, but it's like 2 hours from Austin. I think it's about... Is it really? Yeah, it's about as close as Waco. It's about...
If you're hauling ass, you can get to Houston in 2 hours.
Yeah, I mean, it's over 100 miles, though, I think.
I guess.
Because I was measuring it from, like, Austin to Baylor, or I was measuring from Austin to College Station in Fort Worth. It might be, because Fort Worth to, I know Fort Worth to Waco is closer than Austin to College Station.
Okay.
But yeah, I think it's just a little easier.
Fort Worth and Waco are, like, down the street. I mean.
Yeah, but it's 88 miles, I think.
Yeah.
So maybe just under 100. Maybe it's, like, 95 miles.
Okay.
I don't know. Are there any other games? What's the Monday night game?
I don't actually know.
I think Ohio State's playing. Isn't Ohio? What day is Ohio State Virginia Tech?
Let me check. If only we had these magical
internet
boxes in front of us.
Well, you know, this comes up in there. But while you think about that, you know, just looking at, I don't want to get way too an A&M talk. I mean, is there anybody out of the Pac-12 you're liking? Do you think someone like Arizona could kind of run away with it? Or is it kind of Oregon's to lose
again? I think
Oregon's got a new exciting quarterback coming in.
I think the Pac-12 is going to be the most.
I think it'll cannibalize itself, and I think they'll definitely get a bid because, yeah, I think it's going to be the first year that it's more competitive than the SEC.
I would say if anybody has a good shot,
and that's a hot take. That's a hot take because the SEC West, like, I think Arkansas is a really great team. Basically, every team in the West is a great team.
I truly believe.
But then you think about the East and, like, how bad teams like Kentucky.
Yeah.
But then again, Pac-12 has Washington State and Washington.
But that's the Pac-12 North. The Pac-12 South, I think, is every bit as good as the SEC West.
Okay, that from that argument, I definitely like.
I mean, I think top to bottom, you know, USC, say what you want about them, they're still a top 10 team. I don't care any way you slice it.
I don't see it. I
do. I think they're going to be really good. UCLA, if anybody's overrated, I think UCLA is overrated. But I think ASU is going to be good. I think Arizona is going to be good.
Yeah, they're
Utah is in the South, right?
Yeah, I think so.
They're a pesk. Or a pest.
Pesk. They could be a pesk, too. And yeah, you're right. We were both right. The Ohio State Virginia Tech game is the 7th Labor Day. So, yeah. Nice little something to watch while I'm doing my fantasy football draft.
Watch number one go down on Labor Day. That'd be.
What if they lost again?
I don't think they will.
Of course, they're not going to lose.
That's crazy, man. That's college football.
I mean, is there anything else you want to say about Minnesota? Is there anything you forgot? Any superlatives? Any shout outs you want to give? Do you have any family in Minnesota you want to say hello to?
Well, our boy.
Oh,
Mr. Yes. Sotoma?
Our boy is actually a dear friend of ours. His name's Reeves Sotoma. He's actually going to be at the game.
Probably be live tweeting if we ask nicely.
Yeah. Good friend of the podcast. Great friend of the podcast, actually. Very excited that he gets to go up the game. He lives up there now. Probably liking the weather now. Probably won't like the weather so much a couple months from now.
Very, very soon.
Definitely trade places on the kind of the. Although it's not really, it hasn't been that hot this week. It's been kind of nice. It's been kind of in the 90s.
Been in the 90s, yeah.
The humidity's been low.
It's been pretty
nice.
We should just
pivot this and make this from a college football podcast to just a weather podcast.
Just weather, just talk
just
about.
Every game, just be like, man, you know, start
make up
off,
geography, too.
It started off in the 60s. I don't think we're making up that geography. I think we're right on that. We really got to figure out, as soon as we end this podcast, that's like the first thing I'm going to look up. And if we're right, so what do we decide? Do we think it's, should we say is closer?
I think Arkansas is closer.
Okay.
Hold on. Are we talking the university or are we talking the state line?
Oh, the state line's definitely closer. The state line's very close. I mean, Dallas to Texarkana is like 2 hours or something. Maybe even closer. Like, again, my geography's terrible, but the state line is much closer than it is to A&M. But I'm talking about campus to campus. I think A&M maybe has I'm going to say like a 70-mile advantage. Because I think Fayetteville's pretty north in the state. I don't know. There needs to be a class, just like a college football geography class. Or maybe I just need to read a map for like 2 hours and then we don't have to have these conversations. You do have a map in here, though.
We do. I just realized there's actually a map of the United States
behind
on the wall. And we have not looked at it once.
But so. Anyway, while we figure out our maps, we gave the shout-out to our friends. We gave you the score predictions. We're both very excited to kick off the season. Not only TCU football season, but kicking off, you know, this podcast, this relationship, the relationship with you guys. Just excited to do this. And I don't know. So I'm going to take a sip of my Coke Zero, why Andrew Brown says something?
Well, I'm looking up the distance right now from Fayetteville to Dallas, Texas, by car. It is 333.6 miles.
How many hours is that?
5 hours and 16 minutes.
That's close because okay.
If you take a 1 hour break, 6 hours and 16 minutes for all those right. of you who aren't good at math.
So College Station to Dallas is probably like 4 or 5 hours. Probably 4.5.
I hope College Station is further away just because I don't want
I don't think it is. A&M it's to definitely, ever win it's anything. It's definitely closer.
And
it's like Mythbusters.
Survey says it's loading.
Gosh, just keeping us on by the hair. Dun 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 dun. People are probably so mad by this point because they obviously know the answer.
They've probably turned it off at this point.
If you're still with us, we love you.
Oh, good God, it's much closer.
How much closer?
Much.
Well, how much? You said Fayetteville is what? 350 what? How many hours is it? Three
two,
and a half?
2 hours and 53.
Oh, 2 hours closer.
Yeah, so it's about half the distance.
I aced geography. I didn't ace American geography, clearly, because we were tested on that.
Wow, that's bad.
Well, from two people who are bad at their Southeast geography. We thank you for joining us on the second Frogs of War podcast. The first one, we can now find us on iTunes. We actually are on iTunes. If you just type in Frogs of War, you'll clearly know which one it is. There's two of them. I think the guys that did this 3 years ago have one that's called Frogs of War. You can definitely tell which graphic is ours. It just says it's a purple frog and it just says podcast. So we're on iTunes. We'll embed the podcast in a post so you can listen to it at work. Whatever you do. So yeah, next week hopefully we'll be in a good mood talking about Minnesota, briefly talking about SFA, and then kind of just whatever else comes our way, because it's college football and who knows, there could be a million stories come next Tuesday, I guess.
Yeah, it changes every day. For those of you who might want to listen to this while you're sitting in class, the best way to do that, and it's kind of tough right now because of the heat, but wear a sweater with a hoodie. Put the hoodie up and put your headphones up the inside of your sweatshirt.
And if you're in geography class,
maybe pay attention. Pay attention. We'll bring you in as our geography consultant because we clearly need one.
All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us, and we'll catch you next week.
Peace.